afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Wednesday, February 18th, 2015. I'm Elizabeth Nonemaker. Four workers suffered minor injuries this morning after a large explosion at the ExxonMobil oil refinery in Torrance. Sarah Crevoy reports.
Workers nearby, such as Corey Millsap, evacuated their site after they felt the ground shaking.
As we're running, all we see is smoke, fog, flames. It's crazy.
According to firefighters, the explosion caused ash to fall from the dark air onto streets and nearby vehicles. The blast was followed by a ground fire that was quickly brought under control by firefighters. No harmful emissions were detected, but the South Coast Air Quality Management District issued a smoke advisory warning residents to avoid going outdoors. According to officials, the incident could be a result of a petroleum product leak. Repairs will be needed due to fire damage, but the facility remains operational. This is Sarah Crevoy with Annenberg Radio News.
California Congresswoman Janice Hahn announced today she will run for a seat on the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors. Hahn will forego a re-election run for her congressional seat. She said in a statement she believes she'll able to make a greater impact on the local level because of Washington's political gridlock. Political consultant Bill Carrick agrees.
Janice is a very much a people person, a very good campaigner, but also somebody who's really deep roots in the community and knows a lot of people.
Religious leaders will join the boycott of El Super markets today and urge the public to continue the boycott of the company. More than 100 community organizations are already part of the boycott against the grocery chain. Union workers want to negotiate a fair contract with El Supermarkets and improve working conditions. A punctured 18-inch water main pipe flooded the streets of the Hollywood Hills this morning. More than 100,000 gallons of water poured through the 6400 block of Dix Street. A nearby parking lot was flooded, leaving some vehicles damaged. About 100 customers of the Department of Water and Power had water service interrupted. DWP says water service should be restored by about 6 p.m. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti is in San Francisco today. He's trying to help settle the ongoing labor dispute that has affected 29 West Coast ports, including those at Long Beach and L.A. Morgan Greenwald has the story.
Relations between the parties have intensified as protests continue at the Port of Long Beach. Port employers are accusing workers of purposefully slowing down productivity on the docks, which employers say is negatively affecting business. Workers continue to deny any such purposeful slowdowns at the port. As contract negotiations continue slowly, many port employees have begun preparing for the worst. The Teamsters Union for Port Drivers announced the formation of a rapid response team in the case of a complete port shutdown. Nick Weiner is the Teamsters Port Driver Campaign Director.
In the past, port truck drivers that haul container freight in and out of the port every day, if the port had been shut down, in the past they've been on their own, out of work, and unable to get assistance, particularly filing for unemployment or getting other help, because they've been misclassified as independent contractors for decades.
According to the National Retail Federation, a total shutdown of ports could cost the U.S. $1.9 billion per day. Garcetti hopes to move contract negotiations along since half of all U.S. cargo passed through West Coast ports. Morgan Greenwald, Annenberg Radio News.
A local immigrant rights group today protested the delay of an executive order that might have stopped millions of deportations. The Coalition for Human Immigration Rights of Los Angeles staged a mock registration for the federal program to provide work permits for undocumented immigrants. A federal judge halted the program Monday. CHRLA's executive director, Angelica Salas, is urging eligible immigrants to continue collecting the documentation needed to apply for the permits.
Certainly the Republican Party is aware that we're not giving up, that we're standing firm, that we're going to fight this, and that we're going to make sure that our communities have family unity and that really we're treated with the dignity and respect that we deserve in this country.
The government would have begun accepting some applications today, but that is on hold until the U.S. District Court settles the lawsuit brought by 26 states against the executive action. College enrollment rates are down, but the number is even more drastic for Black students. According to the LA Times, in 2004, 5.8% of students in the Cal State system were black. In 2013, that number dropped to 4.6%. Cal State tried to address the issue when it launched its Super Sunday initiative, which reached out to prospective undergrads through their churches. But USC professor Alan Green, an expert on urban education, thinks these efforts should extend beyond the church.
A lot of people do go to church, but then there are a lot of people who don't. And I found that barbershops have been good places to meet and connect with young people, to talk about issues such as health and economics and education. Being in the streets itself and in the community, you have to go where they're going.
While black enrollment rates have declined, the percentage of Latinos in college has increased by 13%. It was an uneven day on Wall Street, with the S&P and Dow inching lower, while the NASDAQ nudged higher. It was a great day for Capnia Inc., which shot up more than 140% by the closing bell. Investors were bullish about a new device from the company that can quickly measure carbon monoxide in exhaled breath, which will help detect several diseases. It's a busy time for both professional basketball teams in Los Angeles. Max Holm gives us the details with today's Sports Minute.
With the NBA trade deadline at 3 o'clock tomorrow, NBA teams are scrambling to improve their squads for the present and future. In regard to the deadline, LA's two teams are going in different directions. The Lakers have been rumored with unhappy Phoenix Suns point guard Goran Dragic. But it appears they have next to nothing to entice the Suns into a deal. SB Nation's Ben Rosales, who covers the Lakers, weighed in on what he expects the team to do.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Lakers end up sitting pat at the deadline, although I would prefer it.
For LA's less storied franchise, the Clippers may be in free fall following Blake Griffin's elbow injury that has him sidelined for at least 4 to 6 weeks. It's not new news that the Clippers lack any solid wing players. LA Times reporter Ben Bolch talked to us about whether there's any way the Clippers could upgrade that position.
They're not going to make a move unless it clearly improves them. And some of the deals that have been talked about, you know, bringing in Aaron Aflalo or Wilson Chandler, you know, in my opinion, at least, some people disagree with me. I think those would be a push at best.
Outgoing players may also be another deadline reality for the Clippers. Former Sixth Man of the Year Jamal Crawford gave this cryptic tweet last night. Learned early in life, one person's trash is another person's treasure. Crawford may be heading out of town, but on the bright side, LA fans, your Dodgers and Angels have their pitchers and catchers reporting for spring training tomorrow. Max Holm, Annenberg Radio News.
If you've ever wondered about the origins of curious words and phrases, here's Casey Tamkin with today's Root Source.
The dictionary will tell you the word basic relates to a chemical solution or something fundamental. But in today's slang, basic actually describes a boring or typical person or thing. The term basic is meant to be a subtle criticism of female materialism.
Let me just read you some of the things that, according to the internet, make you basic. Liking bows. Liking Carrie Bradshaw. Taking prom pictures. Having ombre hair. Working in PR. Owning white Converse. Wearing packaged Halloween costumes. Working out in pairs. Low ponytails. Tweeting Ryan Gosling.
Many attribute the word slang definition to Krayshawn's song Gucci Gucci, in which he raps about women's love for basic designer clothes. The word spread like wildfire after it was featured in a video in College Humor where it took on the new definition, extra regular female. Now the word basic is used to describe everything from Beyonce to your typical college girl who just cannot get enough of her pumpkin spice lattes and Ugg boots.
While there is no shortage of popular actresses in Hollywood, women are still highly underrepresented in the film industry. Belinda Kai reports.
It would be quite the challenge to find someone who doesn't recognize this song. Let it go, let it go. It's from the hugely popular Disney film Frozen, written by a female and about two sisters. How about this? It's the theme song from Orange is the New Black, a show created by a woman with a largely female and sexually diverse cast. Despite the popularity of movies and shows such as these, women are still staunchly underrepresented both on screen and behind the camera. Sonu Patel is a locally based television writer who is aware of this discrepancy. She recently worked on the NBC show A to Z.
The show that I was just on was a relationship comedy, so the showrunner really wanted to have a pretty balanced room. Having said that, it was still 3 women to 5 guys. In our office, 3 of the assistants were guys and 1 was a girl, and there is always an imbalance.
However, Patel reveals that she was hired onto the show partly due to being a woman. The network wanted to have an accurate female perspective.
Especially because we're on a relationship show, there are a lot of times where it's like, does this seem offensive to women? And then they'll look to us and we're like, we don't know. Like, sure. I mean, you're sort of put in the position of being like the spokesperson for women when you're on a show. And it's like, I don't want to speak for my entire gender. That seems like a lot of pressure.
Patel is cognizant of her gender while at work. To fit in, she tries to be, quote unquote, one of the guys.
I dress like a total schlocky boy when I'm in the room. Like, I wear jeans and baggy t-shirts and sneakers, and I put my feet on the table and I eat French fries like the guys. And there is sort of this like fraternity of being in the room that I think all the girls sort of just buy into a little bit.
She says they have some interesting discussions during the creative process that wouldn't happen in a room full of girls.
We had like a 2-hour debate over who was hotter, like Kim Kardashian or Nicki Minaj. Like, we literally had charts of like their pros and their cons, and like, you know, there was Google searches done over it. The culture of the room is just a very male culture.
This is unsurprising, as USC's Media Diversity and Social Change Initiative found that the number of female directors and writers is at a 6-year low. Just 7.4% of writers of top grossing movies last year were women. And there are about 5.3 male directors, writers, and producers to every 1 female. Stacy Smith is the director of MDSCI. Based on her research, she has a few pointers on how women can get involved.
I would say, A, you might want to think about television, right? There's so much storytelling that's compelling and gripping and as my students like to say, progressive. Secondly, I'd say think about pitching yourself if you are developing a film, maybe against what might be stereotypically accepted for your gender.
Smith thinks that writers have the ability to create change when it comes to gender equality on screen. She just published her work on a concept she calls Just Add 5. If 5 female characters are added to every script every year, so that there are 20 additional female characters per script by 2017, we would be at gender parity.
50.9% of all speaking characters would be female by 2017. It's a very simple solution. You can tell the exact same story. You can add background characters that only say 1 or more words. Our ask is fill them with the demography or the landscape in this country or wherever the story is being told. And the last time I checked, females represent 50% of the world's populations. But it all starts with the screenwriter and the casting director.
USC film student Jeannie Dees is learning writing, producing, and directing. He knows what it's like to be in the minority. In his undergrad years at Notre Dame, he was one of the few Black students on campus. Here at USC, Dees estimates that there is about 1 female to every 5 or 6 males in his classes. He is well aware of women being underrepresented in his industry.
I think to be cognizant of the problem starts to help. I come from a place where I was a minority, and I think because of that, we employ each other and we get each other on our crews. I only cast Black people for the first 3 films I did here. Because we don't see each other on the screen. We're not reflected well, or we're misrepresented. And same thing with women.
Dees supports MDSCI's Just Add 5, but feels that it needs to go beyond that.
We don't want decision makers who are only doing this to hit a quota. We want people who are going to want more women and who recognize women for being talented, intelligent, and capable, crew members or talent.
As more students, researchers, and those in the industry become aware of the problem and try to mitigate it, it seems that there is hope for the future of women in film. Belinda Kai, Annenberg Radio News.
That's it for today. We had help today from Jared Cervantes and Christian Hall. Our board operator is Lexi McAvinci. Christian Brown is the newscast producer, and the executive producer is Sean Birch. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Elizabeth Nonemaker.